Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 31. I'm going to help you find it in the Bible. All you have to do is go to the table of contents and then flip to the page after, and you're in Genesis. Then just go to chapter 31. I know you can count, so you can find it. See, I never want to assume people know stuff, man. We all know who came in here today. They're like, Bible, Genesis, what's that? Is that the end? No, it's at the beginning. I just want to help folks out. Genesis chapter 31, verses 38 through 42. We've been in a series called Love Yours. How many of y'all have been here for every part of the Love Yours series? Let me see where the faithful saints at. Oh, goodness, I love it. I love it. It's been a great series. It's been a series on gratitude. You got to love yours. You got to love your situations. You got to love your pain. You got to love your purpose. You got to love the things that are happening to you because God gave them to you. Love those things, because when you're grateful for those things, the things that you are grateful for, what do? They grow. Amen? So in this series called Love Yours, we've been talking a lot about gratitude. And we actually, last week was interesting because we talked about loving your fear. See, I've learned that when I embrace my fear, I'm actually embracing my purpose, because oftentimes my purpose is on the other side of my fear. I've often also found that if I have a healthy fear of the Lord, the Bible says that that leads to life. So I don't want to ever get too comfortable with God. I want to have a healthy fear of him because I want to honor him and I always want to respect him. Amen? But today, we're going to take a little turn in this last message of the decade. My goodness gracious. Last message of 2019. I've been getting ready for this message for a long time now. I'm excited to preach it, and we are reading right out of Genesis chapter 31, verses 38 through 42. And they read like this. This is the story of a man named Jacob. And I love Jacob. He was a godly man. He's one of the forefathers. The Bible talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is a part of Jacob's story. And I'll explain where we are in the story as we go throughout the message. But if you would turn to Genesis 31, verses 38 through 42, they read like this. I'm reading out of the NIV. This is Jacob talking, and he's not happy. He says this. I have been with you for 20 years now. You just hear the anger in his voice. Your sheep and your goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flock. He's addressing this to his uncle Laban. We'll get to that in a minute. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. You ever just wanted to tell somebody off real bad? Just wanted to tell them about your situation? This is my life. Just wanted to let them know what's up, what you going through? That's what he did. He says, the heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. Says, I worked for you for 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you surely would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. That's a good place to say amen. Ooh, that's how you tell people off in the Bible. I love that. If you're taking notes on this last message of 2019, last one of the decade in this Love Yours series, I've entitled it Love the End. Love the End. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this day. because this is the day that you have made. God, let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I pray that I would lie down as you rise up, because before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that was going to be here today. And God, I'm so thankful for everybody that made it, that brave whatever weather, that brave whatever circumstance, or brave whatever situation to be here, because they knew they had to get one more word in 2019 before 2020 came. God, I pray that they would get everything that they were looking for. I pray that you would open hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to a word that's always going to be about your son, Jesus. And I pray that before we leave here, we could add to the 608 that have already been saved this year, because I believe that somebody is going to meet Jesus. I pray for the one that needs it the most. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, take a moment to give God a shout of praise. And can we give a praise, because 608 people have been saved in this church. That's cute. That's okay. 608 people have either given their life or rededicated their life to Jesus in this church. I don't think you're praising to the level of the announcement that I have made, because it's really hard work to see the kingdom get filled up. But I'm telling you, we're not here to do the easy thing. We're here to do the hard thing. We're here to populate heaven and plunder hell. If you believe it, say amen. This church is all about taking people that were going the wrong way and turning them in the direction of Jesus. So I'm always going to get excited about it. Amen. Love your end. So you made it. Congratulations. Look at your neighbor and say, congratulations. Look at your other neighbor, the one you don't like so much because you picked them second. And say, you made it. We did it. We won. We're still here. Thank you, Jesus. You made it, man. You're a winner. You got to the end of 2019 and some people never even made it. You got to thank God. Like, every breath you breathe is a blessing. You don't have to be here right now, but you're here. And I guarantee you, look at the people that's sitting around you right now. Look at them. Look at them. Stop acting like you don't want to look at them. Look at them. Look at them. You got to look at them, because I promise you, this time next year, when you look around this room, it will never have the exact same people sitting in the exact same space, occupying the same space ever again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event right here. This will never happen again. So cherish this moment, because we did it. God wanted us here, and we are here. We started something, and we are here. I love starting stuff, right? Everybody's about to go into their New Year's resolution. My goodness gracious. You are turning up now because you know after you eat your soup jumu on January 1st, which I will have a hearty portion of, you will get back on your routine. You will actually use that gym membership that you have been paying for the last year and have not used for 11 out of the 12 months of the year. You will do all the things that you said that you would do that you have not done, because here's what I know about people. Everybody's excited about starting something. Oh, we at the beginning, woo, we start, hey, woo, let's go, it's fun, let's do this. But then February hit. like, here's what makes me mad. Like, January, like, you've bought everything you need to succeed. You got the blender so you can make your smoothies. You want, like, a meal program. You just bought an air fryer because there's less fat in the food. How many of y'all got an air fryer for Christmas? Yes, see, I knew it. Wasn't just me up in Brandsmart fighting people. You did everything that you got to do. You bought all this stuff to start because you knew you needed this stuff. Some of y'all done bought new gym outfits. If I work out, I got to look good. that your new sneakers? These are my gym shoes. Shoes ain't seen a gym in a year. They're excited to start, man. Everybody's pumped up about starting, but something happens along the way, and your excitement that was there in the beginning, depending on how the year goes, you may not be so enthusiastic by the ending. You started strong, but life happened. And the things that you wanted to do in the beginning, now you have found yourself on the last few days of 2019, and you do not have the excitement that you once had. He was like, man, I started out with a goal to lose weight this year, and it's the end, and I gained more weight than I lost. Started out excited, but you couldn't maintain it because life happened. You started out this year, man, I'm going to be independent. I'm moving out on my own. I'm going to stack my money so I can have that down payment, so I could get the apartment, I can get the house. I'm finally going to gain real independence, but life happened. And the money that you had stacked to the side, you had to use because stuff happened that was out of your control. So now you got to stay where you are a little bit longer. You started out this year believing that your relationships would get better, but you ended up losing more people around you this year than you actually gained. Relationships that you thought would get stronger this year actually got worse. You start this year with an idea. Oh, this is going to be the year I write this book. This is going to be the year I build this business from the ground up. This is not a good idea. This is a God idea. He placed it inside of me. And if God be for me, who could be against me? You started out real excited about this idea. But throughout the course of the year, you fail so many times at this idea. Now you don't believe that you had a God idea. Now you just believe you're a failure. Didn't pan out. The investors wouldn't front you the money. Something happened that curbed the excitement that you once had. What do you do when you feel like you've come to the end of things and they did not pan out the way that they should? Anybody ever felt like that before? What do you do when you feel like you've lost enthusiasm for something because it didn't work out? You see, in 2019, if I could be honest, God has done some great things, as you saw. But this year was not easy. It's really hard. Like, you face trial after trial, drama after drama. You take hit after hit, loss after loss. And now by the end of the year, you're thinking, God, what more do you want from me? I gave you everything I had. I read my Bible for the first time this year. I tried to pray. I really was trying to be nice to them people at my job, even though they be acting crazy. I was trying, God. I actually showed up to work on time this year. I crossed my T's, I dotted my I's, I did everything I could, but it just felt like 2019, all it wanted to do was whoop me into shape. 2019 had no love for me. Here's what I want you to understand, and here's what I want you to be encouraged by. If 2019 did not pan out for you, get ready, because 2020 is going to offer you something different. You say, how do you know that? It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. There's this thing called numerology. What is that? It's the study of numbers. If you biblically study numbers, you find some things that are very interesting. Some of you are surprised by what God did to you in 2019. You felt like there was just a lot going on. It's a lot of confusion. Things were all over the place. You know what the number 19 stands for biblically? It stands for God's divine order. See, God is very strategic. If you feel like your life has been all over the place in 2019, you should say thank you, God, right now. Because you know what God was doing? God was shifting things around in your life. He was taking you out of uncomfortable spaces. He was cutting people off from your life that wasn't supposed to be there. He was rearranging you. He was changing you. He was shaping you because he wanted you to get out of order so he could put you into his divine order. God was changing things up on you. And the reason that it was hard is because you didn't understand what was going on. You don't complain about change when you realize that God's just trying to put you in the proper order. Some of you are in the back of the line, and the problem was you got comfortable being there. You got so comfortable being there, you got mad when God was trying to move you to the front of the line. You got upset by it. Because you've always been behind. You've always been last. So you thought that when you did something that let you inch forward a little bit, you thought you was doing something. And God was like, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to lead the pack. I don't want you to be behind it, but you excited about this little bit of movement you made? So when God pulled you out the line, you got mad. But he was trying to reorder some things. He was trying to rearrange something. He was trying to get things out of your life that had no business being there. So this year was frustrating for you because God was just trying to order things in your life that have been out of order for a very long time. But if 19 is the number of order, what's 20? I love 20. Because 20 in the Bible symbolizes cycles of completeness. It means the long-awaited ending to something. It means the ending to a season of work. And how many of you know when you end seasons of work, there is a reward for your labor? But here's what you have to understand. God cannot reward the season of your work if everything in your life is out of order because you are not prepared to handle the increase that God wants to give you. I'm a neat freak, man. And I tell you, I will not bring one more thing into my house until my house is in order. Some of y'all been waiting on God to give you something, but your house was so out of order in 2019. God was saying, I got to clear some things out. Hey, I got to reorganize you. Hey, I got to get this thing right because 2020 is coming, and I want to drop a bomb on you that's so big. You already got too much stuff in your house right now. You won't even be able to receive the thing that I have for you because you have waited patiently. You have been diligent. You have worked hard. So there is a reward that is tied for that. But some of your houses are so messy that you cannot receive the blessing that God has for you in the coming year. Please come back to church next week. Promise you I'm much nicer than this. But I want you to understand why your life has been going the way that it's been going. God wants you to clean some things up. Because the number 20, God's going to complete something in you that he started a long time ago. Some of y'all have been waiting for seasons forever. Look how God just changed the order there. He's like, no, that one wasn't working. They really need to hear you, so I'm going to switch some things around so they can really get what you're saying. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's what you got to take captive and take hold of. Some of y'all have been patiently waiting in a season, and you haven't just been waiting while you're waiting. You've been working. And because you've been working while you've been waiting, there's a reward for your labor. See, God always operates in seed, time, and harvest. If you put something in the ground, eventually something's going to come up. Here's what I want you to understand. Some of y'all put something in the ground a long time ago. It was long before 2019. It might have been 2018. It might have been 2017. It might have been 2010. It might have been 2000. It might have been 1999. But get ready, because 2020 is coming, and the things that you have put in work for a long time, God says that this is the year they will manifest, because this is a year of completion and reward. If you believe it, say amen. must come to an end. Nothing lasts forever except God, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your struggle in 2019, your stress in 2019, your stillness in 2019 was a setup for your 2020 success. I'm thankful for the end. Better yet, I love it. I love the end. And before we get out of here in the next few moments, let me give you a couple reasons why you need to love the end. The first is this. Love the end because God has already blessed the work you've done. Oh, man, if you knew about that, you'd be shouting right now. See, some of you have been working, you don't think you're blessed. God's already blessed the work you've done. What am I trying to say? Your work has not been in vain. Your work has not been in vain. God has seen every moment of every ounce of effort you have put into whatever it is you're doing. He's seen it. Even when you don't think, just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean it hasn't been blessed. I started by reading Jacob going off on his uncle Laban. And to understand the story of Jacob and Laban, I give you a super brief synopsis. Won't take too long. But Jacob was a godly man. And Jacob, he went to go live with his uncle Laban. And he lived with his uncle Laban, and he decided to work for his uncle Laban. But he wasn't working for no reason. He was putting in work in seasons because he was waiting on a reward. What was the reward he was looking for? He was looking for Laban's daughter, and her name was Rachel. Rachel was fine, y'all. She wasn't Miss Wilson fine, but she was fine. And Jacob made a deal. He said, hey, Unc, I know that's weird. Yes, he was trying to marry his cousin. Bible times. What could I say? He said, Unc, your daughter fine. What I got to do to marry her? He says, give me 7 years. Cool. Girl, I work in eternity. I'm just trying to make up because I messed up earlier. Okay. I worked 7 years. Laban's like, cool. So he works. 7 years come, his wedding day. He thinks he's going to marry Rachel. And because he has to consummate the marriage on the day of, which is what happens in the Jewish culture at the time, Uncle Laban pulls a fast one. Tricky guy. He takes his older daughter by the name of Leah, slides her in Rachel's place in the marriage bed, and Jacob ends up sleeping with Leah instead of Rachel. You say, how did that happen? Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the... You gotta blame it on the alcohol. See, some of y'all, some of y'all say, listen, there's no problem with drinking, but this is clearly why. The Bible says don't get drunk. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's a practical thing. If you want to know who you next to. I just saved somebody's life already in 2020. Real practical. Slides in. He's drunk. He doesn't know. When he wakes up in the morning, he's like, ah! What did I do? He slept with Leah. And it might not have been a problem, except that the Bible calls her the weak-eyed one. That's Old Testament King James, but she was fugly. She wasn't ugly. She was fugly. She was ugly. It was wrong. Slid in. He thought that he was with his girl that he wanted to be with because she was so fine. Woke up in the morning. He looked to the side. He said, ah! What manner of demon is this? And that was just the beginning of Jacob's problem. And he's like, hey, man, what's wrong with you? You pull a fast one on me. And he says, okay, my bad. it's customary, though, that you marry the older daughter first before the younger one. He's like, all right, fine, what do I got to do? Hey, give me 7 more years. Laban was tricky. And you could have Rachel, too. So this man worked 14 years. For a wife he didn't want, and one he actually did. But here's the thing about Jacob, no matter what he was put through, there was always integrity in his work. He worked hard, man. He might not have necessarily wanted to work under the circumstances of what he was working in, but he worked hard. And the Bible tells us that Jacob prospered Laban. Laban started to have his wealth accumulate and grow because of the work that Jacob was doing. Now, during this time, Leah and Rachel, they were always fighting with each other, trying to understand who was number one, whatever. And what ends up happening is they end up having a bunch of kids. And because there were times and seasons where they couldn't have kids, they sent in their maidservants so that they could sleep with Jacob. And they had kids for him as well. So in total, about 12 kids popped out. 12 boys, which is where we get our 12 tribes of Israel from, right? 12 boys pop out. All this time. Now Jacob has all these kids. He's been working for his uncle slash father-in-law, which is kind of awkward, for a while. And Laban's wealth grows and grows and grows. Have you ever felt like you've been taken advantage of? Have you ever felt like the favor that was supposed to be on your life was on somebody else's? That all the work you're doing, you're not seeing the benefit of. Jacob felt in his heart that, man, my uncle's taking advantage of me. And he made me work these two daughters, and then I work and I get them, but I'm still out in the fields. I'm nothing more than a shepherd boy. I should be more than this because he's only found wealth and prosperity because of the work that I am doing. Look what Genesis 30, 29 through 30 says. It says, Jacob said to him, had a conversation with his uncle Laban. He said, you know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came, Jacob was petty. You ain't had nothing, man. You had to like let him know about it. All the petty people in the room, don't raise your hand. The little you had before I came has increased greatly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? Jacob straight up gave Laban a piece of his mind. He said, hey, man, you've been blessed because of me. When can I do something for myself? What is going on? And look at this response. I love this. Laban, because he's scared that he's going to lose the favor on his life because Jacob is going to leave. Because he's scared, he begins to offer him something. Here's what I want somebody to understand. This is just a sidebar. It's not even a piece of the message. But some of y'all are working for people right now, and you feel like you have no power in the place that you are, but you have to recognize the only reason that your employers have favor is because you're there. So don't think that you're just working for somebody. You're actually in a very powerful position because of the manner in which you serve. If you go, they will be terrified. Some of y'all don't think you're worth nothing. You're worth more than you know. See, the difference with Jacob was he realized how much he was worth in the moment. I wish there were some believers in this place that would know that they are worth more than they think they are. Look at this. Laban's desperate because he don't want his favor to leave. Some of y'all are just a walking bundle of favor. He don't want his favor to leave. Look at this. He says, what shall I give you? He asked. Look what Jacob responded. It's such a G response. He says, don't give me anything. I don't want nothing from you, man. I don't want anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Wait, I thought Jacob wanted to leave. Why would he say, I don't want nothing. I will continue tending your flocks and watching over them. Here is the word for somebody today, and I hope that you catch it. If you've been working for someone for a long time, here's the word of the Lord. You ready? Keep working. See, that's not a popular word. Wait, it's not what I thought you was going to say, Pastor. Keep working. Why? Because God doesn't want to give you somebody's leftovers. He wants to give you your own. Let me make this make sense for you. See, Jacob was smart. He's like, I don't want wages. There's no money that you can give me. Jacob was not looking for wages for his work. He was looking for stock options. He wasn't even just looking for stock. He wanted a percentage of the company. See, I watch a lot of Shark Tank when they make those negotiations and those deals. Keep the money. Keep the wages. I don't want nothing from you. I want a percentage of the company. So how do you know that? Because he makes a deal with Laban. He didn't want wages. He wanted a deal. He wanted a deal. He says, hey, all right, do this one thing for me, Laban. This is what I want you to do. I want you, because back in that day, currency or wealth was accumulated through livestock. So if you had animals, you had shmoney, right? So what he says is, let me get every speckled or spotted sheep, let me get every dark lamb, and let me get every speckled or spotted goat. That'll be my wages. He did this because Laban tricked him on his wages so many times. Now he's setting the pay scale. He says, let me get that, and I'll continue to work for you. I'm good. So I'm gonna just set those aside for myself, but I'm gonna watch all of our flocks together. Laban says, done. I just need you to stay, because there's favor on your life when you stay. He does this, and this is God, man. God is so awesome. He sets these miscolored, and I love it because he doesn't set aside the perfect ones. He sets aside the spotted ones. Some of y'all won't take something unless it's perfect. See, some of y'all looking for perfection, but God has perfection in what he wants to give you. So he says, I don't want the perfect ones. Give me the spotted ones. Give me those. God, I love this. Because he was not looking for wages, because he was looking to own something, guess what God did? God multiplied the thing that he was trying to own. And some supernatural, miraculous way, go look at it yourself, his flocks of spotted and dark animals begin to multiply like crazy. It was nuts. So much so, not only did they multiply in greater numbers than Laban's original flock, but all of Jacob's were stronger than Laban's. Because God did something supernatural there. I love it because God always wants to take the natural. God always wants to take the leftovers and make something more of it than what we can. See, y'all, some of y'all want something perfect off top, but God is the one that makes things perfect. Right? So he takes this and he accumulates so much. Word starts getting around. And look what it says. I love this. Genesis 30:43, it says, in this way, the man, talking about Jacob, grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own. Didn't say he came to watch over. No. Came to own large flocks and what? And, hold up. Didn't he make a deal for flocks? But he got flocks and female and male. Sir, hold up. People come with the deal? Instant employees? He didn't make a deal for employees. He made a deal for flocks. He made a deal for flocks. God gave him female and male servants. He also gave him camels and donkeys. If you want to talk about what something is worth, if you put a sheep up towards a camel or a donkey in that day, guess what? Camels and donkeys were worth more. You know why? Because not only could you get produce from them, you can ride them. Transportation. Not only did he get the sheep and the flocks, he got a couple Cadillacs as well. He made a deal for one thing. Not only did God give him what he made the deal for, he gave him some stuff he ain't even asked for. Okay, let me preach to this tree, because this tree might get the fact that when you do what God has called you to do, when there is excellence in your work, when there is favor on your life, all you have to do is keep on working, keep on doing what God has called you to do, because not only is he going to give you what you expect, he's going to give you more than what you expected. Hard work pays off. You think nobody's watching you. You think nobody knows. But God sees everything that you've done, and he's going to give you more than you bargained for. This will be the year that God does something where he gives you your own thing. God don't want you eating off of somebody's sloppy seconds. He wants to give you your own thing. Jacob worked hard, and God blessed him. And when he blessed him, he let Laban know about it. Let me know if this sounds like you. Matter of fact, no, I ain't gonna put you in that position. This sounds like me. Listen, look at what he says to him in Genesis 31, 38 through 42. And I already read it, but I'm gonna read it how I would say it. This is what, they would write me out the Bible. They'd definitely write me out the Bible. Because if I had a chance to say what Jacob said right here, it would sound like this. Man, I've been with you for 20 years. My voice will change octaves, easy. 20 years. I've been here. And your sheep and your goats not miscarry, nor have I eaten your rams from your flocks. Man, I'm a pescatarian. I don't even eat that. Okay? I didn't bring you any tore-up animals by any wild beast. As a matter of fact, I bought and lost myself. Man, I took so many L's for you. I took so many L's for you. And you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day. You wanted me to pay you back for some stuff. It wasn't even my fault. Tell you, they wrote me out the Bible. Listen. And this was my... Man, look. This was my situation. Man, let me tell you something. That's how I'd have said it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, son. I don't even know why to throw that in there. How to throw it in there. Tell you something, son. The heat consumed me. Man, it was hot. We live in South Florida, man. It's hot. It's that I can't breathe hot. It's that I can't take off enough clothes hot. It's hot, and it was cold at night. Man, Laban, you know when it get 1 degree below 70 degrees in South Florida, we pull out our mink coats. It was cold, man. It's hot, it was cold. I couldn't get comfortable. And sleep, man, I ain't had a night of sleep. Did you see my eyes? This is, what? Man, I'm tired. I ain't tired, I'm tired. Laban, I'm tired. I'm tired. Man, it's been like this for 20 years. You ain't let me leave the house for 20 years. All the movies I missed. My goodness. I worked for you for 14 years for your two daughters. One of them I ain't even like. She was ugly, yes. She looked like you. She's her father's child. You made me marry her. I didn't even want to marry her. For two daughters for 14 years and 6 years for your stinking flocks. I ain't want to be outside doing that. I like AC. And you change my wages 10 times. Man, Laban, you cheat, man. You cheat. You don't know how to pay people. You a liar. The truth ain't in you. Can't stand you. This wasn't like a dissertation. This was a read, man. He read Laban so hard. But I just want to know, even if you feel like me, even if you feel like Jacob, you've been patiently working and waiting and you haven't been comfortable, and you haven't gotten rest, and you've been stuck in the same place doing the same job for the same person for the same pay as everybody else. But get ready, because 2020 is coming, and God has seen everything that you have done. Let me ask you a question, though. What if the same thing you were annoyed by was the thing God was using to bless you? Like, I know it's fun to get a read, right? It's fun to let people know about themselves. But what if you spent less time telling people about themselves and more time being thankful for the thing that's driving you crazy in the first place. Because what if God was trying to use that situation to give you a blessing? See, here's the thing. There are folks that want to give up on something and they're right there. Like you are tired. You ain't been comfortable. You are frustrated. You are sick and tired of being in the same place. But if you just keep working, you are right there. What happens is we give up on something that God was trying to use to bless us, and then somebody comes right after us and takes a hold of our blessing. You're right there. You giving up way too easy. What if the thing that you were about to give up on was the thing that God wanted to bless you from? Stay in that job that you were writing that letter for to give your 2 weeks' notice. Be thankful for it and get your blessing. Stay and continue to work and grow that business and get your blessing. Stay in your family, man. Don't run out. Get your blessing. I know your kid's crazy. Mine are too. And there's days I pull up in the driveway and say, man, should I just turn around? But stay. Stay with them and get your blessing. Stay and serve your church. Don't go with the next flavor of the month, man. Get roots somewhere. Get committed. For the Bible says that a tree that is planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Have we not shown you that we are trying to do our best to be a blessing with the community? I'm sorry that maybe one person in the church offended you, but don't leave because God's not done blessing you. Stay. Stay in that marriage. And get your man. You've been together 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, and you're trying to walk out now? Stay. Get your blessing. It's not worth starting over, I promise you. Because whatever you're looking for, you won't even find. God has what he wants. God has what he wants for you right there. Some of y'all running out on your spouse could be the greatest blessing for you if you actually just opened up your eyes and looked at him. Stop running away from him anytime you get the chance. Nothing else is more important than them, not even your children, because your children are going to get up and leave you one day with them. And you better be thankful for them. Because that is who God put you with, man. Stay. Don't run. I've gotten 3 calls this week about people that want divorces. Stay. You don't need me to counsel you. Stay. If they ain't beating on you or cheating on you, you better find it in your heart to forgive them. And even then, I'm not condoning any of that behavior, but don't we serve the God that forgives us of everything? It's not conditional forgiveness. It's total forgiveness. Stay. You're so close to your... See, people go through stuff, and they just look for reasons to run and hide. They look for reasons to get out of here. There's somebody that walked in and was going to give up on something today, man. Stay. God sees. Stay. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I say, you're right. But you don't know how God wants to bless you. You don't know because you're too quick to run. People see what has happened in this church in the last few months, and they're like, oh, y'all blessed. Stop. You don't know what we go through. You have no idea what this last year of my life has personally looked like. And I'm not up here to complain because I am thankful That's why I keep on working. And that's why we keep on growing, because I keep believing that God wants to do more. But don't think that this just popped up and happened one day, because you might see the 800 people that were here last Sunday, and I know the 700 plus people that are here today, but you didn't see me 15 years ago when I was driving kids on buses at midnight after youth service just to get them home safely. You ain't see me when I was cleaning out toilets and picking up trash from the church floor. Man, you ain't see me when I was fighting rats and roaches to keep them out the food pantry so that we can give people food from our food bank. You ain't see when I was preaching to 50 kids in a loading dock like it was 500. You ain't see me when I drove 4, 5, 6 hours on my own dime to go preach to 20 kids knowing that I wasn't going to get paid on this side of heaven. You ain't know me then. So don't judge the blessing that God has given me now. And even though we got hundreds of people in this room here today, some of y'all still don't know that every week I go to the same middle school that took us in, and I preach to 40 kids there every single week in a first priority club. And I'm not saying it to brag or to boast, but I understand that God blesses my work. All of it. Not just the stuff that people know about, but the stuff that people don't know about. What you got to understand is that if you think you're too big for a season, God will keep you there to remind you how small you are. Don't tell me I don't understand. Don't tell me I don't know. Maybe I haven't gone through what you've gone through, but I know God knows. And there's a plan and a purpose behind it. God has blessed you every minute, every second, every moment of every season. So keep on working, because you will never see God bless you like he's about to. See, what's coming is greater than where you've been. Love to end, because God has blessed the work that you've done, but finally, God's going to give you double for your trouble. You ain't clapping because you don't know. God's going to give you double for your trouble. After Jacob's flocks multiply, workers from Laban go back to him and say, hey, Jacob's stealing all your flocks, which wasn't even true. He didn't steal. God supernaturally grew the ones that he had. But he had so many that they were overwhelming in comparison to the flocks that Laban had. So it looked like Laban had nothing, but you just couldn't find what Laban had in comparison to what Jacob had. He has so much. So Laban's upset, and he goes and pursues Jacob, and Jacob runs in fear for his life. He takes his whole family, he takes everything, and he runs. And finally, Laban catches him. Genesis 31:22. And I love this, because Laban was looking to do harm to Jacob, and God checked him. God checked him. Look what he says. He says, on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. I got a public service announcement to the haters in this room. Public service announcement to those that will watch this later online, and a public service announcement to those that will be listening on podcasts. If you can't celebrate with somebody that is winning, then keep your mouth closed. Don't say nothing. Like my mama used to say, if you can't say something nice, we must have had the same mom. Don't be a hater when people are winning, man. Don't even move your thumbs to text nothing foul. God said, don't say nothing. You don't talk about my son like that. When he finally catches up to Jacob, though, this is what he says. Jacob finally gets to look Laban in the eye after all the persecution, after all of the chase and all the things that Laban had put him through. And he says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship. He sees you. He sees you. Seen my hardship and the toil of my hand. He's seen the work that you have done. And last night, he rebuked you. Let me tell you something. Because you worked hard, because you stuck with it, because you finished, because you've made it to the end, God will not let you leave empty-handed, and nobody's going to be able to say a thing about it. God's going to make sure that you got more than you bargained for. You say, how do I know? Because do you know what Jacob left Laban with? Listen to this. When Jacob left Laban, I love this. He had 12 sons. He had two wives, two other maidservants that gave him sons. He had many manservants. He had many women servants. And based on a gift that he gave his brother Esau after his story, this is what he gave up to his brother Esau from his flock. He had 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 female sheep, 30 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys that he gave away. I don't think you understand the level of wealth that this man gave away. So I have to ask myself, if he gave that away, what did he? Saint, you better preach it with me. What did he have? If that's what he was able to give away, Jacob has so much by the time he left Laban. Jacob entered a new season with so much he had to give away that it did not even hurt what he already had at home. I mean, we're talking about abundance on another level. Like, Jacob wasn't even sweating it. It didn't even hurt. He didn't even bat an eyelash. He was like, hey, you, my brother, I have wronged you. Let me send you a little care package. Man, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but there are people that have worked and waited for a long time. 2019 beat you up, and you thought you'd never see the end to it. But thank God for the end, because get ready, 2020 is on the horizon, and God is about to give you double for your trouble. But it's better than that. God ain't gonna just double it. We in the year 2020. God's gonna give you double, double. Whatever God doubles in your life, he's going to double it again, because he wants you to manifest in abundance like you have never seen before. Whatever you think is a blessing from God, you need to think again, and you need to double it and double it again. Double the favor on your life and see double the blessing. Double the demand on your business to see double the profit. Double the profit so you can double the generosity. Double the sacrifice so you can have double the impact. We gonna double the services so that we can double the family. We gonna double the anointing so that we can double the miracles. We gonna double the power so we can double the victory. 2020 will be a year where you get more than you bargained for, because God wants to give you double what you expected. How do I know? Because his word tells me, he that began a good work in you will finish it. If you believe it, raise your hands, open your mouth, and praise him.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.